Simmer down. Time for the last research presentation of the convention. All right. Last one before lunch as well. Anyhow, for our last one here for the morning session, we have Chuck Hildebrandt going on abandoned franchise relocation in big league history. Chuck has been a two-time winner of the Doug Pappas Award and is also a Tigers fan. Here he is.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's good to be back after 4 years, so away we go. So first of all, I want to let you know that for the sake of context, there will be logos and team names from time periods I'm discussing that are considered offensive today. So viewer discretion advised, and if there are any, if any parents have any children in the room, please use your best judgment. Okay, so in 1988, the Chicago White Sox shocked their fans and traditionalists by suggesting that they would have to move the franchise to Tampa Bay, Florida. The team had been in Chicago almost 9 decades, and though clubs had moved from several other two-team cities, it seemed unthinkable that either of the Chicago teams could ever leave the city of big shoulders. Well, we all know now that the only thing abandoned was the idea that the White Sox would leave at all, because as it turns out, owner Jerry Reinsdorf was less interested in actually moving the team than in tapping into that deep well of sweet, sweet taxpayer money to get a nice new stadium for his toy. And so this became just another anecdote in a long line of potential franchise moves that were abandoned in the end. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, abandoned franchise relocations in big league history. Okay, so to start with, I struggled with what to even call this presentation in the first place. You know, I landed on abandoned franchise relocations, although that suggests that some attempt was made to move a franchise, and that's not always the case for these. Some of them are abandoned attempts, like A's to Louisville in 1964, where they actually signed an agreement with the city to move the team there. But that's a rare case. Many more were just half-baked efforts that just failed, or mere discussions among owners and leagues, or even just rumors reported in some newspaper somewhere. So this presentation is broader than just, you know, they tried to move the team and it just fell through. Secondly, this is not intended to be a laundry list of abandoned franchise moves. So the scope of this presentation is not comprehensiveness, but interestingness. And lastly, I'm focusing on examples taking place during modern big league history, so I'm not going to contemplate any potential franchise shifts that might have, you know, been contemplated during the Wild West that was 19th century ball. Okay, so that having been said, I have unearthed 137 different franchise location rumors that were reported on, but either never went through or didn't go through for at least a year after. Now, I could just rattle them all off. That should take about 20 minutes all by itself, right? Should I just rattle them off? Should I do that? No? Okay, I'll just go through the presentation I painstakingly put together instead. If I just suffer through putting it together, you got to suffer through sitting them. All right, so one thing I found was that the sweet spot time frame for these rumors existed from about 1950 through to the mid-60s. About 3/5 of all instances I could find, more than 80 of them, occurred during this time period alone. And not for nothing, this was also the time frame that saw the most actual relocations as well. Of the 13 moves since 1903, 8 took place during just this period, and 2 more took place in the half decade after that. So that's 10 of 13 franchise relocations concentrated in a 20-year sliver of modern baseball's 125-ish year history. So the inadvertent genesis of franchise relocation rumors is rooted in Ban Johnson's original plan for the American League, which was to invade the largest population centers in the country that already had National League teams and put American League teams there to provide what they called continuous baseball every day of the season, since these cities otherwise sat idle for half the summer. That was Johnson's policy and plan for making the American a major league. So that meant teams in Chicago, Philadelphia, and Boston right away. And in 1902, then moving the original Milwaukee franchise to St. Louis, that made 4 cities that were shared with senior circuit, and the plan for 1903 was to share 2 more cities with the NL, which led directly to the earliest failed relocation attempt that I could find. So the Baltimore franchise was abandoned that city in 1903 and was replaced by a team in New York. Everybody here knows that. What's not widely known, except by a few hardcore Sabres in this very audience, was that there was also a plan to move the Detroit Tigers franchise to Pittsburgh, which would give the AL 6 shared cities, plus Cleveland and Washington. Now, the idea for that move kind of made sense since Detroit was less than two-thirds the size of Pittsburgh, an established industrial metropolis, whereas Detroit was basically a horse and buggy manufacturing town. And since horse and buggies were going the way of the horse and buggy, why keep a major league team in such a minor league horse town? Well, that would be asinine. Might as well put teams in Troy and Altoona while you're at it, right? So, newspaper reports surfaced on November 20th of 1902 that the transfer of the Detroit club to Pittsburgh would be completed that day, that negotiations were going off without a hitch, that reports of not moving or selling the franchise were without foundation, and that Detroit was not much of a baseball town anyway. Well, in January of 03, the deal fell through because the Pittsburgh people dawdled on bringing the money together to buy the Tigers. And that's a good thing, too, because by 1920, Detroit was the fastest growing city in America with nearly a million people. And had the deal from 1902 had gone through, we might have seen an actual franchise shift probably in the 20s or maybe the 30s. So the next contemporaneous reporting that I could find of a possible franchise move was from the 1930s. There weren't so many franchise move rumors that decade, only six I could locate. But to me, the most interesting one that I could find was a story in the St. Louis papers that owner Sam Breeden was eager to transfer his world champion Cardinals to, of all places, Detroit. Now, the idea was not as crazy as it may sound today. During the Depression, Detroit was the fastest growing city in the country, with a population nearing 2 million. Whoopsie daisy. What did I just do? I'm sorry about that. So they were the fastest growing city in the country with a population nearing 2 million, more than two other two-team cities. And it had the kind of shift-oriented workforce that was available to attend 3 p.m. games. It was widely thought that Detroit could sustain the continuous baseball that two teams in the same city would offer. Plus, Breeden had already suggested the Cardinals play home games in Detroit back in 1924, when the St. Louis Browns were trying to, quote, suicide a sportsman's park. So the idea had already been broached. Now remember, the Cards had just beaten the Tigers in the World Series, and despite winning the five pennants in the prior 9 years, they still drew only a little more than 300,000 total fans for all of 1934. So ring or not, the franchise was hurting. So after an attempted sale, the club failed. Breeden saying that all of baseball could profit by changing St. Louis to a one-club city suggested moving the Cards to Detroit, where the Tigers had just enjoyed close to a million patrons spinning through their turnstiles. Breeden proactively blamed Tigers owner Frank Navin for why it wouldn't happen. And true, Navin could exercise basically veto power over such a move, and he almost certainly would have done so. So of course, Breeden quickly backtracked on the whole idea, and that was the end of that. Now, occasional stories of possible franchise moves would continue to pop up into the 1940s, with the majority of them involving one of the St. Louis teams. Now, that the St. Louis was the butt of most franchise shift rumors made logical sense. While not the smallest two-team city in the majors, that was Boston, although you can see it's kind of close here between the two, they did have the smallest two-team metro area population, with an estimated 1.1 million in 1940 versus Boston's 1.75 million. And like many mature big cities, St. Louis had population decline between 1930 and 1940. So it was seen as a declining town that simply could not handle two teams any longer. So one interesting aspect of the St. Louis franchise move rumors I could find is that two of the earliest stories contemplated moves to Montreal. First the Cardinals in 1932 and 3, and then the Browns also in 1933. And I find it interesting that these earliest move rumors involved the largest city in Canada rather than the biggest eastern cities in the United States that did not have teams at the time, such as Baltimore or Buffalo or Milwaukee. Now note that I said eastern cities because Los Angeles was larger than all of them, but it was obvious that logistically baseball was not ready to move to the West Coast in the early 30s. Now you'd think that the St. Louis relocation rumors would involve Browns, that all of them would involve the Browns, and it's true that most of them did. Practically everyone in this room is aware of the probable Browns of Los Angeles move that was scheduled for a vote on December 8th, 1941, but was truly abandoned for obvious reasons. But even though most rumors were about the Browns, since they were both so bad and so poorly attended, there were occasional rumors about the Cardinals fleeing town all the way into the 50s, because remember, the Browns owned the stadium and the Cardinals were the tenants. So there was there was some talk that maybe it was the birds who would fly away. And indeed, there were a few efforts, mostly unremarkable in 1946 and 7, to buy the Cardinals and move them to L.A. But also in 1947, there was a truly, truly bonkers idea that arose from a Fort Frick interview with Dan Daniel of the New York World Telegram, to wit. Frick suggests third major club in Chicago proposes transfer of Cardinals. Chicago Cardinals. That's a good idea. Now, granted, Fort Frick has some interesting ideas about heading up the National League and later all of baseball as commissioner, but wow. Like, how did this almost come to pass? Well, St. Louis was obviously still having the same problems being the smallest city with two teams. So to Frick, the most logical solution was to put a team on the side of Chicago that did not yet have one to call its own, the West Side. So here's Frick from the story. There is no doubt that we are confronted with quite a problem in St. Louis, and I think it would prove highly profitable if the Cardinals were moved to the west side of Chicago, where the Cubs used to hold fourth before they took over that Federal League park on the north side. A second National League team in Chicago would engender a rivalry similar to that which exists between the Giants and Dodgers in New York. In good seasons and in bad ones, in flush times and in depression, those 22 games between the Giants and Dodgers are vastly successful at the turnstiles. I am confident that such a rivalry could be developed in Chicago, which, like New York, is big enough to support three major league clubs. There you have my suggestion to a solution to the St. Louis problem, which can no longer be poo-pooed. So what was the response to this gem of an idea? As long as I own the Cardinals, they will remain in St. Louis, said Sam Breeden, who tried to move them to Detroit twice before. And Ford Frick, the sports writer, he was shocked to find that his interview with a sports writer get published in the newspapers. I can see now that I talked out of turn. He actually said that. Now, rumors of franchise moves were always fun to think about in the early days. Hey, how about the Browns in New York? Queens, to be exact, to become a league rival to the Yankees and give New York City four teams. How much fun would baseball have had with that when the people started bailing to the suburbs? But moves like this never came to pass, in large part because it was so difficult to get approval for one. A team would have to obtain unanimous approval of their own league, plus the consent of the other league as well. So unanimity is a very high bar by itself, but requiring the consent of the other league is what would keep things like Cardinals to Detroit from happening. So in December of 1952, the leagues adopted a new rule stipulating there would be no consulting of the second league and leave it to the leagues to set their own voting requirements. The AL would require a 6-2 vote to move. The NL would still require unanimity. Now, this led directly to the vote on March 16, 1953, to move the Braves to Milwaukee and to move the Browns to Baltimore, not the Cardinals to Houston, as was implied by plan drafted with birds in mind up there on the right. The Braves' move was approved 8-0, no problem. The Browns' move was not approved by the American League. Bill Veeck got only 2 of 7 other owners to vote yes. Now, that might have been more of a Bill Veeck issue than anything else. First of all, Veeck had the temerity to never wear a suit and tie. That was his unique sartorial calling card. In fact, the press routinely referred to him as the sports shirt, as in the sports shirt seized on the opportunity to strike it rich. And the sports shirt found himself reeling. And I feel better, to put it mildly, said the sports shirt. The sports shirt is not a nickname that suit and tie people give to a guy they respect, okay? And also, Veeck had the temerity to make baseball, what's the word I'm looking for? Entertaining. With promotions such as Grandstand Manager Night and signing 3-foot-8-inch entertainers to one-day contracts. Fact is, Veeck didn't have a lot of fans inside the game, and he ended up having to sell the Browns in order for the team to be allowed to leave in St. Louis at all. As was all too typical, Veeck got screwed by baseball. Nevertheless, the 1950s and early 60s were the true hotbed period for rumors of franchise moves and, of course, actual moves. If I tried to touch on all the rumors that this time frame had here, this presentation would go until 12 noon, easy, and that would take us right into the middle of fancy lunch. And I can't have people walking out of me for fancy lunch. So, just to kind of summarize this period, the early 50s saw the Braves, Brown, and A's rumored to go to about a dozen different cities around North America before they actually did move. 10 different franchises were rumored at some point to be headed to the West Coast. There were 7 different reports of just the A's alone going west. After the moves west by the Giants and Dodgers, five different teams were rumored to be filling the National League-sized hole in New York City. Calvin Griffith made a virtual cottage industry of playing footsie with various cities like Los Angeles, Frisco, Louisville, Minneapolis, of course, more than a year early, and my personal favorite, an unnamed Texas city. Must be Lubbock, right? Lubbock Senators, right? While denying he was ever going to move the Senators until he moved the Senators. An early 60s expansion led to a whole new round robin of franchise move rumors, such as Indians to San Diego, Indians to Oakland, A's to Dallas, A's to Atlanta, Indians to Atlanta, Braves to Atlanta, or San Diego, or Toronto, or Buffalo. Even the Reds to Cleveland, for cry eye. Cleveland! They were going to move the Reds to Cleveland. I mean, there was a time they were going to move everybody everywhere. Now, remember I talked about the A's to Louisville? That brainchild of A's owner Charlie Finley might be the platonic ideal of an actual franchise move that was abandoned as opposed to merely rumored or just discussed. So on Christmas Eve of 1963, Finley announced that the A's would move from Kansas City Municipal Stadium after the talks broke down to renew the lease. Finley had requested permission to keep playing in the stadium while talks were ongoing, but the city refused them. So Finley replied that he'd rather the team play in a cow pasture than yield further on his terms, which led to comical offers from local farmers to host the team on their land. But rather than dodge cow pies in Missouri, Finley actually signed a two-year agreement with Louisville to move the team there from 1964 without authorization of the league and without a vote from the owners. Well, the blowback was immediate and harsh. On the heels of a 9-1 vote against the move, the league ordered Finley to sign a four-year lease agreement by February 1st to play at Municipal Stadium, which would keep the team in Kansas City through 1967 or else forfeit the franchise. An unhappy Charlie Finley served his sentence, then moved the team to Oakland. You can see how badly it aged him there, this whole thing. So many of us remember the 1969 expansion, which brought new teams to San Diego, Montreal, Seattle, and Kansas City, although that did not quell rumors of franchise moves. Dallas was miffed at losing out on expansion, so they became a popular destination target with the Pilots and Indians thought to be going there until the second Washington Senators actually did. But as the people of Milwaukee and Kansas City and Seattle learned, getting a new team in town did not relieve you of rumors that you were going to lose it in the move, as the fans of San Diego would learn in 1973. Perhaps Padres to Washington is probably the most famous almost move from this era. It's also technically an abandoned franchise move, since C. Arnold Smith had signed a letter of intent in May of 1973 to sell the team to D.C. interests for $12 million, while at the same time proclaiming he'd be the happiest man in San Diego if the team were to remain here. It seemed very much like a done deal, with newspapers announcing approval of the shift on December 7th. And the team was even provisionally renamed the Washington Stars, and practically everybody in the room here has seen the baseball cards. But, as so often happens when these kinds of things come up, the lawsuits started flying, the league started getting cold feet, and then they helped arrange for some hamburger owner to purchase the team for the same $12 million to keep them from moving. Finally making C. Arnold Smith the happiest man in San Diego after all. And good for him, he deserves happiness. But subsequent reports may not have made as much headway in getting letters of intent or league approvals as the Padres of D.C., but they did dominate some of the conversation in the mid-70s, leading up to the next round of expansion, especially Bay Area teams, such as the A's of Seattle or the Giants of Toronto. But the strangest rumor had to be the thing that was concocted in the noggins of who knows who, the grand swap of the Oakland A's coming to Chicago, the Chicago White Sox moving to Seattle, and the fans of Oakland eating worms. So this whole thing was not out of left field, as it were, for Charlie Finley. He was from Chicago. He tried to buy the White Sox in 58, and he loved moving baseball teams. So he definitely would have liked this to happen. And White Sox owner John Allen was looking to get out from under his team and the crumbling stadium in which they played. Now, contrary to this headline, it would not have been the Seattle White Sox or the Chicago A's. The A's team would have been transported lock, stock to Chicago to become the White Sox and adopt the complete history of the team, including, I presume, the whole Black Sox thing. And the White Sox would have left to become the Seattle whatchamacallits. So, incredibly, This complex two-team swap was hailed by Tribune columnist David Condon as the most practical solution to baseball's several franchise problems. That just makes me want to see what some of the impractical solutions were, right? I mean, what was the original idea? A's to Chicago, White Sox to the moon? I mean, that would have been more impractical, I guess. Anyway, spoiler alert, it didn't happen. So, over the course of the past 5 decades, we've seen a good deal of speculation about franchise moves that didn't go through. A lot of speculation in the 80s involved teams like the Pirates and Twins and Expos and, of course, the A's, going places like Denver and New Orleans and Vancouver. The 90s saw speculation of the Twins, if not contracted, then moved to Washington or the Triad or Charlotte or even Mexico. 2005, of course, saw the only actual move of the last half century as MLB Incorporated did everything they could to run baseball out of Montreal. Now, we haven't seen so many, you know, rumors since that move, maybe because we were running out of teams, running out of cities to plausibly rumor teams away to. Tampa to Nashville was an active rumor a couple of years ago. Tampa to Orlando is an active one right now. Orlando doesn't seem very big league to me, but if nothing else, it just goes to show that as long as there's some destination with enough people living there, someone in baseball will threaten to move a team to it. All right, so I got about a minute left here, and so I want to leave you with something a little fun here. I'm not going to leave you with a big idea, any kind of unifying idea, like in 2014 retroactive All-Star games, the big idea was how much All-Star game appearances influence Hall of Fame voting. And the big idea with changing leagues affecting player performance in 2017 was that the American League was a superior league, which I still kind of believe, but I really don't have the evidence for that anymore. And the big idea with Little League home runs, which took place in this very room in 2015, is, God, aren't Little League home runs fun? So instead, the thing I'm going to leave you with here is what the major leagues might look like today had some of the more interesting, intriguing, and even wacky franchise moves that I found and showed on that list earlier rose from the rumor discussion stage to reality. So I'll leave this up here for people to gaze at while other people gather at the microphones and answer questions or ask questions I may or may not be able to answer. So I want to thank Stuart Shea for all the franchise move rumor stories he sent along, and I want to thank my patient wife, Terry, for allowing me to hole up in the second bedroom to put this together, and I want to thank all of you for attending.
Chuck, I remember in college, the Seattle-Chicago thing. I remember John Rooney on CBS Sports on radio talked about that like in 75 or 76. So I do recall that, but thank you for the information that I didn't realize that Finley would just take the whole White Sox team.
In right, the, that's the way it was reported in papers, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. That's all. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Great job, Chuck.
Thank you, Maxwell.
Question for you. You're a Detroit guy. I vaguely remember hearing this on the radio during the 94 strike before the expansion teams were awarded in early 95, that if the city of Detroit was unable to find a stadium to replace Tiger Stadium, they were all but moving to the Thunderdome in Tampa. Had you heard anything to substantiate that?
Wow. I actually had not heard that one. I'm a Tiger fan. I'm embarrassed that I didn't. I don't remember that one. But wow, Tampa Tigers.
I mean, it might have just been my memory, but I just thought I'd bring it by you.
Thank you.
Now, it seems like the Indians were linked to just about every major city in the 50s and 60s. But in the 70s, there was they actually talked about a plan to play some games in Cleveland and some games in the new dome they were building in New Orleans. Right. Obviously, never came to pass. Did you ever encounter anything like that where they talked about, you know, a split home city for any other team? Not completely moving, but at least playing some games for... And actually, I think it was half the games would be played in New Orleans in the case of the Indians.
So sort of like the Montreal-Puerto Rico thing or the thing they're talking about with Tampa, Montreal, and that kind of thing. I think the closest I came to that was the part where Sam Breeden said that he was getting sued out of Sportsman Park by the Browns, and they were going to have to move their home games to Detroit as a result. But I don't think that was a permanent or meant to be any kind of permanent solution. Right, yeah, they went up, right. So the White Sox and Milwaukee went up for a few games, and there was, of course, rumors that they may end up moving to Milwaukee as well.
Your last slide suggested at some point the Red Sox were rumored to be going to San Francisco. That's a new one on me. Could you fill that one in.
So Red Sox in San Francisco was rumored a little bit because the Red Sox, when Joan Cronin was president, he oversaw buying the San Francisco Seals, lock stock. So, you know, back then, a lot of major league teams wholly owned, you know, minor league teams. And so they thought that maybe that was, you know, a predicate for his moving the franchise out west to San Francisco and be the first one. Because there was a sort of a, it was sort of an arms race between the AL and the NL to be, you know, who's the first one who's going to crack the West Coast. And so there was a lot
so
of
this was like
circling
the early,
around it.
Early 50s.
56.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was 56. Yep. Yes.
Yeah, I'm a St. Petersburg native, and I was living in St. Petersburg, grew up there living in St. Petersburg when all that about getting a team there was going on. It was very interesting to watch your city being made a patsy by every owner who wanted a new stadium. The White Sox were not alone in offering, threatening to move their team there. But St. Petersburg had the last laugh by putting the team in a stadium that everybody hates. So, and I've lived in Orlando for like 30 years, and the moving the team, the Rays, to Orlando is not either not going to happen or would be a big mistake. Orlando is not a big sports town.
Right. I mean, I don't even think the population is as much as Tampa. I'm pretty sure Tampa's like a number 13, 14 market. I think Orlando's like 25-ish.
And it's the demographics.
Right.
The people there are just not interested in sports. And I would like to make clear one thing. As I travel, had opportunity to travel around the country, how many people do to the Tampa Bay Rays, Tampa Bay Lightning, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are all of which are very successful, they think the name of the town is Tampa Bay, like Green Bay.
Right.
And it's
exactly.
Not.
Hi.
I just noticed you didn't say very much about the San Francisco Giants hitting that trifecta of moves that never happened. The first to Toronto, the second to St. Petersburg, and the third to San Jose.
Right.
Do you have any thoughts about that? I mean, that was clearly the result of them playing in that wind tunnel by the bay.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. So, you know, I did spend most of the time, obviously, on pre-1975 stories. And, you know, because I think a lot of the most interesting stories there, I mean, it's an interesting story, I think, when any franchise, you know, tries to play several cities against their own city for stadium money or whatever. But yeah, I mean, you saw a lot of that in the 80s and 90s, especially. A lot of the reasons for wanting to move in the 50s didn't have as much to do with, you know, I want the stadium to build me a new, or I want the city to build me a new stadium, or I want that kind of thing. Is I need parking for my ball team because, you know, people are like moving to the suburbs. They're driving. They're not taking the tram or the bus to the game anymore. So, you know, so it's interesting how the reasons teams wanted to move kind of changed between the decades.
It's an outstanding lecture.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, back when they were when Milwaukee was looking for a new stadium, one of the things that kept coming up, and it was reported almost as if it was a sure thing, that if they didn't get this new stadium built, they were going to Charlotte. So,
right.
You know, that's another one.
That's another one. Thank you very much.
Chuck, really good job.
Thank you.
I will say, judging by the crowd at yesterday's game, that Chicago would support a Cardinals franchise here, it looks like.
Well, I'm an A's fan, so.
But I was going to add for the baseball card collectors out there, you showed, you know, 1974 Tops went with the Washington move that didn't happen. Two hobby heavyweights, Mike Ehrenstein and Keith Olbermann, also were hard at work planning on possible Toronto Giants cards as an extension to the 1976 SSPC set. So those cards never happened, but the guys were taking it seriously.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for this presentation. I'm an A's fan, and I see the next person is going to talk also. So this is heartening because, you know, we're involved in a lot of drama right now, and to see how many of these proposed moves actually fail and do not pan out, this has been good to know. But what we're hoping for in Oakland is a change in ownership because it's like our owners have stunk for a while, and we have a history of bad ownerships that have do this, and it's just like, yeah, this is a franchise that has been uprooted a couple times. And how many times, I mean, I see that when Vec moved to Baltimore, He was forced to sell and all that. But are there times when these things actually end where somebody actually stays put, but the owner is told, does actually sell the team, like what we're hoping happens in Oakland?
Yeah, I'm not really aware of one. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
All right, thanks.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So to piggyback on that, based on your research, first of all, had you seen any prior discussion of relocation to Vegas in the past?
I'm sorry, can you speak up with this?
Oh, sure. In your research, have you seen any prior attempts to relocate a team to Vegas in the past? And second of all, this may be a reach, but could you offer an opinion on what you think the odds of the A's moving to Vegas are?
Well, I mean, I would think... Well, so I think the whole thing about moving the A's to Vegas is I think it creates a little bit of a difficult thing for baseball, because now they got to figure out like a third team, a third city that can plausibly host a Major League Baseball team. And I'm talking about Vegas and Nashville. I always thought they would be the 31st and 32nd franchises that come in. And it's not that Vegas is a big market that can support it. It's that Vegas has a lot of money. There's a lot of, and especially outside money, which I think is what makes Nashville such a good candidate too. Because, I mean, they're a big market, bigger than Vegas, of course, but they have a lot of outside money there, so they can generate more cash through it. So I don't know really what that leaves for Major League Baseball's plausibility. I mean, Charlotte, maybe, but I think the Braves would throw kind of a fit about that, especially if they put a team in Nashville. You know, Portland, baseball's had a rough go up there. You know, they've lost two AAA franchises. Can they support a Major League franchise? I'm not sure where else they go after that, so...
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Being a New Yorker, I remember there was a rumor at one time the Yankees were going to move to New Orleans and keep their name, the New Orleans Yankees. How about that?
That would have been perfect. Fantastic. Thank you.
Since Commissioner Rob Manfred often supports baseball's antitrust exemption with a discussion of the lack of franchise relocations in Major League Baseball compared to other sports, would you consider sending your work to the Congressional Subcommittee that is currently looking into all of this?
With pleasure.
Hi, great presentation. I recall reading one time that Milwaukee was actually the Boston Braves' second choice.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to go to Toronto.
Right.
But that, of course, was where the Red Sox had their AAA team. So,
right, sure.
Since the Braves' AAA team was Milwaukee.
Yeah. So I didn't find any contemporaneous reporting about wanting to move to Toronto in 52, but I did find a 1957 interview in which Perini talked about wanting to move them to Toronto in 52 because he thought it was a good market and because he thought they had a favorable climate. It's true, he said that. How many of you here are from Toronto? Is it a favorable climate? How's the climate out there? So.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Hey Chuck, good job as usual.
Thank you, Gary.
2 points. One is the Tigers thing was Mike Ilitch toured the Thunderdome ostentatiously to sort of give the heebie-jeebies to people in Detroit if they didn't fork over the money for a new ballpark. There was really nothing to it.
Okay, yeah.
But it was, you know, in the media. Two is the 02 Orioles really didn't relocate to New York. The franchise was dissolved. The Yankees don't consider the Orioles their antecedent. And when Pete Palmer and I did our ESPN Baseball Encyclopedia, we decided that wasn't a relocated franchise. They were two separate franchises.
Right.
So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I think I said that they shut down Baltimore and they moved to New York, but
yeah,
they weren't
did.
The same franchise. And you know, I was gonna limb on that a little bit more here, but I thought it was a little bit out of scope to do that.
Yeah. Well,
but I do mention on my poster downstairs that the Baltimore franchise that I did the measuring for that for tenured teammates goes from 1903 and not 1901. Yeah.
But since you're not paying me to give you compliments, I had to put in a criticism there.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Keep me humble.
This has nothing to do with your presentation, but I'm trying to find an extra ticket to the luncheon, if anybody has a ticket.
We have a man who wants to go to fancy lunch here. Who can help? Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it.